The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brocker back with you here on The George Show. Last hour until we get to Charlie Kirk at 10. We go live and local with Stefan from 3 to 7. My thanks to Mike Boyle, who came in there at the end to tell us about this awesome opportunity in my backyard. And even if it's not in yours, you ought to make a trek down there. It is the Taste of Douglas County this Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Douglas County Event Center. Super easy to get to, by the way. You just head southbound on I-25. You get past those factory outlet malls there in Castle Rock. And then you head east off of Plum Creek, and it's really, I don't know, one, two lights in, something like that. Here's the trick, and I thought this was cool. $20 at the door, at the gate, or 10 bucks if you go online, and you can go online at tasteofdouglascountyalltraditionalspelling.com, tasteofdouglascountyalltraditionalspelling.com. I'm going to try to make that thing happen. I'm going to figure out how to do it. Probably can't get there until after 6, but I am going to make a run at food. Sadly, that's what's kept me from fitting into my bikini this entire summer, a visual you probably didn't want or need. What we've been talking about here is twofold. One, what began as a discussion of the need to purge the party of people like Liz Cheney or anyone who had voted against Trump, that really engendered a conversation from folks, including Sandy, that came on to say, listen, I can't vote for Trump. I can't vote for Trump because of this, that, or the other. I voted against Trump. I didn't really vote for Clinton. I didn't really vote for Biden. I just voted against Trump, which I think we knew was always out there. But then some of the people that have texted in, who just based off their text history, it seems like they have texted in here a bunch. But there are folks that have raised some similar concerns, similar thoughts. And then we had David from San Francisco call in who oh, my sweet Lord. Some people think he's a paid leftist. If he's paid, they should get the money back. But it says David from San Francisco is doing The Voice. You know, the one you do. Here's message to David, the caller. Government is organized crime. Trump fits right in. I don't know if it's organized crime. I'm certainly skeptical of big portions of the dark parts. But here's one with, I agree with your personality description of Trump. This is what scares me to vote for him into the most powerful position in the world. This also outweighs the good he has done, and I will continue to vote against him no matter who is running against him. Others who have said David makes Joe look reasonable. After talking with David from San Francisco, the MAGA people don't seem so bad. That says something right there. David better do research of Pelosi's grandfather and father when he talks about organized crime. Hang on here. There's more. This is what happened in the last months of Peter's career. The greatest show ever turned into a 4-hour daily argument of both extremes. It's exhausting. We can feel the tension between the hosts and callers, even between the hosts themselves. I don't have any tension with any host on this station at all. I don't think I ever have. A little tension between me and a former host, but that's all driven by him, not me. But I don't have that going on. And then it was, we can feel the tip of it. Perhaps we could come together with ideas to change bad policies. Yeah, that sounds great when you say it out loud. It sounds great when you text it. But let's be honest with you. Ain't nobody having a successful radio show that is just talking about the policies behind something without folks crashing that party with the, these are your motivations, this is your ideology, that is what drives the conversation. We have to accept that and figure out a way to talk about it in such a way, maybe we convince someone, not that caller, but we convince someone to say, oh, you know what, I hadn't thought of it that way, and that happens to me too. Here's one, sweet Jesus, David needs a hobby. I wrote back, he has one, hating Trump. He could at least, some of the orange man's money, blah, blah, blah. The FBI, oh, here's one. Somebody had written in, DJT, Republicans could win many additional seats, both in the House and the Senate, because of the strong backlash over the raid at Mar-a-Lago. Polls are showing that some lost Republican territory over the last number of weeks has been more than made up with the announced break-in by the FBI, which should never have happened. I said a break-in? And they responded with, yep, that's what the people believe. Not a raid, but a break-in. Perhaps not legal. And the lack of transparency with the affidavit makes reasonable sense. The FBI has nothing. Trump tipped. What? Who has an empty safe? A big misstep for the FBI. Yeah, I think it remains to seen whether they come up with anything that's of value or usable, but it was not a break-in. And I get people are going to be like, that federal magistrate should have never, ever been in a position. That's not the measure of whether there's probable cause. That might be the first stop on that train, but it ain't the end. Whatever they find could be appealed in court, and a judge down the road could say, hey, guess what? I don't find there to be probable cause. That would be a problem. But listen, the FBI gets to act on what's called a good faith mistake when it comes to that particular warrant. And when a judge signs off on one and they limit themselves to whatever that warrant is, and by the way, I have huge concerns over how broad it is, it's not a break-in. And it doesn't serve the truth-seeking function to call this a raid or a break-in. It doesn't help that. All it does is add an emotional flavor to this to try to make it more incendiary. And I think that's part of what exhausts people, is that there is no, let's take a look at the facts and take apart the facts. That is not this process anymore. We are more and more devolving into this. Well, I've already got my conclusion. And my conclusion is everybody wants to get Trump. And therefore, anything that happens to Trump is the product of some sort of dark government, you know, conspiracy. That's the starting point. That shouldn't be the starting point. The starting point should be to say, okay, I've got skepticism about the FBI based on the things that happened with Strzok and Page and McCabe. All of those things give me huge pause. Let's take a look at what happened here. And should it have happened this way? Is it possible that they're wrong, but not because of a conspiracy, but because of something else? Or is it possible they might be right? There is no analysis like that. Can we change policy without him? No. We can't find something we agree on and move forward. Okay. I vote for the candidate that will get things done for our country, not the personality or the likability. I'm not hiring a priest, but a bulldog to get things done, Kim and Littleton. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Kim, it would sure be nice to think that we could get things done without having somebody in the office who views themselves like the office exists for them, and that everything has to be filtered through the how does this impact me first filter. And if you deny that's what's going on there, I'd love the proof of it. Show me the one single thing that he's done that is against his personal interests. You tell me what that is. 303-696-1971. We've got other folks, but we've got Gary on the line here. Gary will stir the pot for us. Gary, you're on 710. What do you think?
Oh, hi, George. Great show.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. You know how this term rhino is thrown around, Republican in name only?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I've heard it before.
Yeah. And I was thinking about Liz Cheney. Now, when she was during her current term, I think she voted for Trump's policies like over 90% of the time. And
yeah, 93% according to Billy.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Trump's policies. I liked what he did, excluding the treaties. But in my mind, I would vote for Liz Cheney because she's obviously a Republican in principle. Now, it's unfortunate we've had a bad run the last 6 years where we currently have a president who we're embarrassed by what he can't say. And with Trump, we were embarrassed by what he did say because he's insulting. But as I admitted to Randy Corcoran, if the Democrats nominated someone that has the same policies as Biden and Trump was his opponent, I would hold my nose and I would vote for Trump. Because
Gary, you just knocked the socks off of a bunch of texters who are convinced that you're this left of center fake Republican. I'm sure rhino's the term out there. They want to call you a never Trumper. Someone on the text thing called me that too. It's just a crazy way to get past having to take on the issues. It's a crazy way to have to get to avoid taking on the substance if you can just dismiss you. And here you are saying, I'd still vote for Trump.
And that's the same reaction I got from Randy. And see, people just don't understand the way people like me think, and we're not against a person because of their personality. We may distaste, it may be insulting to us, but you know, the best scenario would be someone, another Republican that, like maybe the guy from Florida, who embraces Trump's policies would run. Then we'd have
that's
best
Ron DeSantis.
Right. If he were to run, I would absolutely vote for him because we'd have someone who would have the kind of policies I appreciate, and we wouldn't have someone that insults us and our intelligence. And I'll give you one example with Trump. Do you remember about 5 years ago, I think four or five of our, I think they were Marines, were killed in Northern Africa. And Donald Trump attended one of the widow's, one of the funerals, and the widow was there. And he was caught saying to her, well, he knew what he signed up for.
Crazy.
About her dead husband.
Crazy.
That was insulting.
I think I know what he was trying to say, but he sucked at it. And I think it is more courageous, and there is more valor and glory in it, in part because this guy signed up knowing that he may be called upon to give up his life. There's a better way to tell that story, but to simply be like, well, he knew what he was signing up for, that sounds dismissive and cheap. I get it. I understand.
And he said it while they were looking over the poor man's grave. It was just, Trump just has, he's tone deaf when it comes to sensitivity.
I think that's in part an outgrowth of the fact that the entire universe has him at the center for him. I just think that is true, that this isn't a guy who can do something that is against his personal interests, even if he thought it was better for the larger picture or for the country. I'm still waiting for someone to tell me, remember that time you also can't find a guy who refuses to take responsibility for anything that bad that happens, or a mistake that's made, or owns a failure. That's just a sign of something. I don't know what it is. By the way, wouldn't keep me from voting for him over a Biden or a Clinton or someone else on that side of the aisle. But it's something that we got to acknowledge is there. I mean, if you can think of a time where the president said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, find it and call me and tell me, and I will correct it. I don't think it's ever, never, ever happened.
Yeah, and I'll let you go, George, so that you can talk to other people. But do me a favor and please read some of the texts that are scathing and that say they hate me. I love hearing
No, Gary, the question on here, I'm glad you prompted me for that, was who did you vote for in 2016 and 2020?
2016, I voted for Biden because I was just...
Hold on. 2016, Clinton was on the ballot.
Oh, 16. Yeah, I would have voted for Clinton. And
OMG, Gary. OMG, buddy. That's huge.
OMG.
How could you vote for Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. In 2016?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Let me think. I'm trying to remember.
It's a clear one in my mind. It was Trump because there was no chance I was voting for Hillary Clinton. Zero.
Yeah, I think I did vote for Clinton, actually, because just didn't like Trump. And I didn't think Hillary would put us in the mess that Biden put us in. But
how about 2020? What'd you do with Biden, Trump?
I voted for Biden because I didn't think he would.
Do you regret that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's that. Gary, there's that. And the folks out there in the texting world, and I appreciate you calling in, Gary, have that to chew on right there. Now, listen, this isn't just a Gary thing, the questioning about whether or not the country is ready for another round with the president. And this all spilled out of a conversation with folks about what to do about Liz Cheney. And do we need to purge her because she's somehow not Republican, or she's just not Trump? Like, is this a party of principle, or is this a party of a personality, of a single individual? And I gotta say, man, especially for all the people that throw around the name calling and all that stuff, it seems like it is all you cannot say ever anything critical of the president. So I've never seen that before. I've never seen that with Ronald Reagan. You never hear about people crap talk Abraham Lincoln for certain things he did, suspending habeas corpus and other stuff. Well, George Washington gets maligned, owned slaves. Thomas Jefferson. We can't hear a single criticism of the president without folks rushing to decry not the criticism, but the person making it. It is Alinsky-esque. Don't attack the criticism, attack the criticizer. It's just interesting to me. But there's something else at work here. This is a podcast that Laura Ingraham had participated in. And the name of the woman who's got the podcast is Lisa Booth. And Billy has grabbed up some of the sound from this. And it's interesting in light of the conversation that we're having. Here it is right here.
Donald Trump's been a friend of mine for 25 years. And I'm always very open about this on my show. But, you know, we'll see whether that's what the country wants. I mean, what the country, I think, is so exhausted. They're exhausted by the battle, the constant battle, that they may believe that, well, maybe it's time to turn the page if we can get someone who has all Trump's policies, who's not Trump.
That's kind of interesting, right? That is her entertaining the idea. And she's a huge Trump supporter and will continue to be. I don't think this is in any measure Laura Ingraham rethinking her support now or in the future for the president. But I do think she's reading the tea leaves and trying to get a sense of America, not the Republican Party who would renominate Trump, because I believe that they would. I don't believe anybody out there in the Republican Party could defeat Trump for the nomination. I just don't believe it. But I think what she's looking at is, to win the White House, we got to have more than just the Republicans who support Trump. We've got to have a significant portion of unaffiliated voters. And are they ready to move on because of the fatigue and the fighting? And then, of course, the person that texted in and said, why can't we just talk about policies, good and bad, then says I'm condescending. So if you feel like I'm condescending, I apologize. Also, grow up, because this is talk radio. I'm not here to coddle anyone. I'm here to try to get information from you and have a conversation. If that strikes you as condescending, there are other options out there. Isn't Dick Cheney a war criminal? When are they raiding his house? I thought he signed off on torturing people. I don't know. I just truly don't understand the tit for tat thing when you involve Cheney. I get the whole, hey, it is very difficult to hear people say that what's going on with the FBI and Mar-a-Lago makes total sense, but not doing anything with Clinton and her server and the several fakey email addresses in order to defeat the classification of documents. I totally get that. I don't understand the whole tit for tat when it comes to, is Cheney a war criminal? More and more text pouring in. And just what does Trump have to apologize for? The Democrats, media, and shortly thereafter, big tech slandered him before he even took office, and kept it up for years with all manner of lies and deceit, all manner of lies and deceit. And he called them out for it, and I don't blame him one bit, and I don't blame him for whatever rhetoric he used. Not once. Not once was it near as bad as what they said about him or what people currently say about him. Well, there's the standard we want, folks, is you only have to act at the same level as your opponents. And God forbid you subscribe to some other sense of decency or civility. If you perceive you've been maligned by the press, well, my God, you can do or say anything. That's brilliant. I think that's great. That's going to make for a better America. Kudos to Gary for at least answering the question. I get that. I cannot envision how somebody got to voting for Biden and Cheney or Clinton. I'm sorry. Here's one. Liz Cheney voted over 90% with Trump on the easy Republican issues. But like McCain, she will always be tied with her father and the Iraq War. Yeah, she might be. I don't know if that's fair. I don't think she had anything to do with that, but maybe that's fair. Here's one. Liz is a traitor. Listen, man, throwing out the labels, especially one like that, you're going to have to define traitor for me in a way that's different than what appears both in the law for the United States and in the dictionary, because I don't get it. There's a lot of anger here for all this stuff. Oh, well, that's a different one. I can't control the commercials they play. Someone says, please stop playing commercials in Spanish. I said, I don't have that superpower, and lo siento.
You know what that is?
Lo siento mucho. What?
Muy grande. The Spanish commercials are based on your streaming platform. We have no say-so over that, because we want this podcast and this signal to be available anywhere. So what Salem has done very intelligently is to meet the listeners where they are. So you choose whatever streaming format, or you choose however you connect with us, and we'll let that signal go. Sometimes it'll be with a competitor, like an iHeart app. It may even be with an Odyssey app. It could be anywhere else on different platforms. But then we give up a touch of editorial control, and because of that, the deal is they're allowed to run some commercials on our broadcast. And the chances are they don't do enough research or have any idea about
we get this a lot, by the way, buddy.
Yeah,
we get texts a ton from people who are like, why the Spanish?
And that's the reason, is basically the streamer, whoever you're connecting with, has to fulfill a delivery number. They need to show that they ran that commercial X number of times and it reached X number of ears. And unfortunately, your ears at that point counted as two. So that's why it happens.
Billy, with the, my gosh, behind the curtain sort of analysis of how we got there, as long as they're paying the bills, I don't think we mind. I just think they probably, someone should tell them there's a whole bunch of people out there that don't know what the heck they're selling. Let me tell you something, though, that you can do for yourself that is going to be all good, and it's easy to understand because I don't know how to speak Spanish. Twin Aspen Dental Center. They have an incredible mission, and that mission is to provide the highest quality oral health care for you and your family, and they do it as a local business. That's the best. No knock on the big national chains that are out there. I'm sure they do a wonderful job for a wonderful price. But if you're looking for folks that you can relate to on a long-term basis, folks with long-term employees at a location where you're like, man, this feels a little bit more like home, you're going to go down to the Twin Aspen Dental Center's new office located at Stroh Road in front of Lehman Academy in Parker. These are just good people. I've met with them several times. They've been in the studio. I'm going to have my teeth worked on. Hopefully just cleaned, next month. But they can do all the big heavy lifting stuff in addition to keeping your mouth clean. They can do the crowns, the bridges, the dental implants. They really focus on the preventative stuff, which is awesome because if you do the preventative part right, you don't need the crowns, the bridges, the dental implants. Fantastic, folks. You ought to go take a look and see what's going on down there. TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, or you can just pick up the phone right now, give them a call, 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466. I want to get them back in the studio to talk about, again, another segment of weirdest thing you've taken out of someone's mouth. We'll see if we can't get that. Billy, we got to get that lined up here. That is really separate from the advertising thing. It's just fascinating to me. What else is fascinating to me is Jim and all these billions of texts and everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971. We'll get to you right after this. George Brockler, 710 KNUS. We love AC/DC in the dad car. It is one of the few things I claim credit for solely with the kids, and that is exposing them to music from the late 70s and 80s. They will still jam to Journey, AC/DC, Kansas, some Lynyrd Skynyrd, Led Zeppelin even. Man, I probably didn't do as good a job on the Led Zeppelin. Metallica, but more the newer, and when I say newer Metallica, folks, I'm talking early 90s Metallica, okay? So let's be real. A little bit of that. No Iron Maiden, but man, when AC/DC comes on, it's...
You didn't do the Maiden? I'm a little disappointed in you personally.
Over Iron Maiden. I was worried it was going to lead to fashion decisions. I just didn't want the t-shirts. I just didn't want that. But I think they could get into it now because now my kids get in the car and they're like, hey, Dad, listen to this music from video games. Now, when I was a kid, the music was like from Intellivision's Activision Pitfall, which was like, or Pac-Man. Like,
oh, yeah. Now it's symphonic. It's unbelievable.
Now it's incredible. I mean, the stuff they put together is ridiculous. And he's playing, some of it is really hard. There's some game called Ultra Kill, which
I don't think
Dad would have authorized that purchase, but it happened.
Somehow.
And the music is intense. It is like speed metal meets darkness of some kind. I don't know.
I have to go look. I had just about a week ago, I had one of the proudest parenting moments that I've had in a long time in my household when wafting out of my older daughter's room upstairs, hear a fantastic song by the Smiths. And then I hear her sing along with it. And I'm like, yes, Dad has done something right. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I was so excited. I was like, hey, some of this stuff stuck with you.
Well,
I like that.
Billy, keep that music coming. We could do some Smiths bumper music here. I want to get to the phone lines right now. We're talking with Jim here on 710 KNUS. Jim, what's your thoughts?
Hey, George. Well, I make no bones about that. I'm a big Trump supporter.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, his policies, you know, I was with Trump when he very first came down, when he was talking about the border and he was talking about trade. And these are things that I've been, you know, since, geez, I'm 62 for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
And he's the first president in my lifetime who did exactly what he said he was going to do. I've been lied to by all the presidents. I, you know, I used to be a Democrat, you know, but not for a long time. I mean, I couldn't vote for Bush. I couldn't vote for Kerry. That's the only time in my life I didn't vote. And as after that, it's been straight Republican.
Well, I wish you had voted back then, too. But, Jim, I appreciate and agree to a point with what you've said. But there are things that he promised that we've just simply ignored. For instance, I'm going to repeal Obamacare. We're going to get Obamacare repealed. It's over. It's dead. That didn't happen. And then there was.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
That was John McCain who gave the thumbs down on that. Trump did everything he could. He fulfilled his promise. John McCain, and you guys want to use the word rhino.
Well, you said you guys. Well, what's you guys?
Well, some people are talking about the phrase rhino, and that's exactly what we're talking about. Here we've got Trump, who ran on this thing.
Yeah.
He won the election, and he's voted down by a member of his own party.
Listen, that part sucks, but remember, he didn't have a plan for an alternative. Nobody in the Republican Party had an alternative. I mean, it was the dog that caught the car, right? It was 9 years of, we're going to repeal it, we're going to repeal it, we're going to make it better. It finally gets to the doorstep of repeal, and ain't nobody got a plan. It's like, and here's the other one. Remember when he said, I totally agree, he said, I'm going to tackle immigration, I'm going to take on the wall. But remember when he said, Mexico is going to pay for the wall. Maybe they'll even show up with a giant. They did not.
They did.
How?
Okay, hold on a second, George.
How did they?
When he told Mexico, he never ever said Mexico was going to write a check. What he said was,
oh, my God, he said they might come to the border with a giant check. He said that.
Rather than pay the tariffs. And he was saying that, look, we got a $50 billion surplus. I mean, we're $50 billion well, surplus. Yeah, they, you know, we're negative with this.
Trade deficit.
They're going to pay for it.
Trade deficit.
Right. And they're going to pay for it, or I'm going to put tariffs on them because we're going to have to secure the border. So I agree 100% with Trump did there. He and Mexico did. Once he said, look, we're going to start putting tariffs on you guys if you don't do something with the border. And they did. They put their military down there. That was just another win for Trump. That was just another time.
It's not.
I
don't
exactly
disagree
what he said.
I don't disagree with a policy that has Mexico doing more than they've done, and frankly, more than they're doing right now. But that is not the same thing as Mexico will pay for the wall, which is what he said. Now we can say, well, that was he was talking in figurative terms, and he was talking about something. But
that's
the truth
exactly
is,
right.
The words he's not a figurative guy. He is what makes him so attractive to people is he is a clear communicator that just says what he means. He doesn't dance around in analogies or stuff like that. So when he says they will pay for the wall, people weren't cheering him because he was alluding to the fact that they'll do more to stop illegal immigration. They were cheering because they're damn right, write the check.
Well, he was basically saying, look, we have this trade deficit with you guys. And I think I personally never took it like Mexico was going to write a check. It's no different than he did with China, saying, look, we have a $500 billion trade deficit with you. We are not going to continue to let that happen. We've got to bring our manufacturing home. And these are things that just – the things you're pointing out are the things they love about him. I mean, does he think out loud sometimes, like I think out loud sometimes, and maybe say something off the cuff? But that's certainly no reason not to vote for him. Any of the two you gave me would be no reason not to vote for him. Now,
well, hold on. Who's offering it as a reason not to vote for him? I'm simply offering it as an explanation in contradiction to your point of he did everything he said he was going to do. And it was like, not exactly. He did way more of what he said. He did way more of what he said he was going to do than other presidents. And I believe he did far more than any of the other people standing on the stage with him would have done. I believe that. But I'm not just going to say, hey, man, this guy did everything he said he was going to do. He got in the zip code on the wall. But he truly said they will write a check. They might even come to the border with a big check. Now, that may have been a funny way to do it, but he's not a figurative guy. He is a literal guy.
Okay. Well, that's fine. And then if you're going to hold that against him,
I'm not holding it against him. It was a response to what
you
said. You brought it up. You said he did everything he said he was going to do. I give you an example of how he didn't, and then you say you're going to use it against him?
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, if that there was a pretty gray area, whatever you want to call it. But and the result, I mean, was awful good. I mean, he did more for this country. He did more for my kids and me than any president in my lifetime. And I would vote for him again in a minute. Now,
any president in your lifetime? Are you 20?
No, I'm telling you. You people bring up Ronald Reagan,
yeah,
and they'll say he did a good. Well, I would say Ronald Reagan also was on watch when 400 Marines died in Beirut, Lebanon. But Donald Reagan was also on the watch.
Happy to have that conversation with you, but the dude also brought the end of the Soviet Union.
Sure, he did.
Okay.
Hey, Trump. I'm just saying, in my opinion, Trump is a better president than Reagan. Reagan traded arms for hostages. He can say he didn't. He did. Reagan wasn't. He did a great job. He did a great job, but is he better than Trump? No. Especially as much as Reagan was hated, and Trump, maybe because of some of his Playboy status, maybe because of his billionaire status, some of it on his own, he was fighting an uphill battle from the beginning. So was Reagan, but I believe Trump was fighting much more of an uphill battle. Remember, Ronald Reagan was the first guy who granted amnesty to 13 million illegal immigrants. That was Ronald Reagan. Donald Trump never did that.
I think it was 11, but also remember, and I think that was a mistake, but remember it was, and we didn't know it was going to go this way, but it was with the promise that this was the end, right? Like we were going to shore up the board. And I think the lesson we learned from that is you can't trust the other side. You don't grant amnesty first. You grant amnesty last. Like you don't start sopping up the water spilling over the edge of the tub until you turn the spigot off, right? Like that's the lesson we learned.
Exactly right. But, you know, the facts are that when it comes down to Reagan and Trump, you're just talking about one and 1A. And I'm considering Trump as 1A. I just think that he's fought so hard for our country. He's taken on China. He's taken on all these different the industrial war complex. People like Liz Cheney. And that's my biggest problem with Liz Cheney. That was my biggest problem with her dad.
Tell me about Liz.
It's this war machine. It's this constant, we want to go to war. You know, we want to have our people over there in places like Iraq and Afghanistan for years and years on end. And it's just, it gets exhausting, not to mention the death toll and the injuries. Hey, that's, you know, yeah, if you sign up for that, you know, I got to tell you, I wouldn't sign up for it.
But
not
Jim,
to go over and fight in Iraq or Afghanistan or anything like that.
You wouldn't fight for your country's interests.
I would fight for my country's interest if I believed. Like, it's no different. All right, let's take example. Let's take George Bush, for example. And you want to talk about being wrong, and Ronald Reagan was wrong. How about how wrong was George Bush when he said there was weapons of mass destruction? He took us into a war. And that's why I couldn't vote for him in that primary, in the election against him and Kerry. The facts are he was wrong about
Did you vote for John Kerry?
I did not vote for – I couldn't vote. It's the only time in my life I didn't vote. I couldn't vote for Bush.
Man.
He should have been primaried for what he did. He was wrong on Afghanistan. He was wrong on Iraq. He got us into a bunch of crap, and there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
We didn't
primary. Do you believe that they knew there weren't weapons of mass destruction when they put that out there?
I believe it was, again, the military. I believe that Colin Powell, you had Dick Cheney, you had the other guy, Rumsfeld. I think they wanted war because this is just thinking.
Yeah.
Bush was his – Bush Sr. – Saddam Hussein tried to kill Bush Sr.
Yeah.
And I think there was a lot there that led us into something that really, I mean, if we can't call the race after the race, it was a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake. ISIS came out of that. The other one, the jihadists and all this came out of that. So, I mean, when you just give Trump and you look at the record, George, that's all I care is look at the record.
Yeah.
And what he did for my family and for me and for my business and everything. And look what happened since he's been gone. I mean, hey, I just think people just need to look by. Did I say he's perfect? No, he's not. But he is a hell of a president. And you know what he figured out that I never even thought of? And I'm in business. But you know what controls this world? And he figured it out, and it's energy. Energy controls the world. Energy is how he is.
Well, I sure wish we had those policies back, Jim. There's no doubt about that.
He's not only the good stuff, but we had peace in the Middle East. You know? I mean, he is a very – for all his...
We don't have peace in the Middle East yet, but we definitely made some strides there, and I do believe that the president had made some significant efforts to try to encourage that, especially with Israel. But, Jim, forgive me, and I don't mean to cut you off, but Billy's in my ear telling me I've gone long again. So thank you for the phone call. There was another Jim on the line at 303-696-1971, which we would have got to. Look, before I cut away here until we get to the last break, I want to tell you about Littleton Fine Jewelry. Littleton Jewelry, which is conveniently located south of Hudson Gardens, which means it's easy to get to right there off of 85. These folks will help you come up with a great idea for that holiday that's coming up. And the holiday I'm talking about is, of course, Veterans Day. No, I'm kidding. Christmas, the Christmas season, Hanukkah season, that's 4 months down the road. You may be thinking, how do I put something together that is special, that is something memorable, that is different than anything else someone's going to get off of Amazon or go to Walmart or Target or even one of the local stores here? And the best place to go for that is Littleton Jewelry. You can have a piece of customized jewelry that they'll do right there. They'll do it in front of you. I've seen the guy with the fire doing the thing with the monocles or whatever they are, the little things that they look at over their eyes. It's incredible. They'll do it right in front of you, something nobody else has ever seen before, nobody else has, something that'll be passed down generation to generation. Oh, yeah, they'll do all the other great things, like they'll repair your watch, they'll clean your jewelry, they'll give you an appraisal, they'll look at gold, silver, platinum, buy it, sell it, the coins. They'll do all that stuff, too. You got to go check these folks out. They are fantastic. Jesse and his team of locally grown folks, that's the kind of small business you want to put your money into. They will let you approve the final sketch of your custom jewelry using this CAD, this computer-aided design. They'll give you the full feel and layout of your design. When it's finished, it will be one of your favorite possessions or the favorite possession of a loved one that you give it to. They are located on Santa Fe, just south of Hudson Gardens. Check them out. You can visit them at littletonfinejewelry.com, but I say go to their studio out there. You go south, you turn right, that's towards the mountains, right when you get to the jewelry repair sign. That's littletonfinejewelry.com. Last segment, when we come up, we'll take any other callers, and a bunch of texts have come in. 303-696-1971, George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Well, the answer is stay, at least until the top of the hour when we're replaced by Charlie Kirk. But for the next five-ish minutes, you've got me, George Brockler, on The George Show here. Tons and tons of text today. And I got to tell you, it is it's a combination of comments on the subject matter that we have and comments on people that are texting and calling in and all this other stuff. It's just a very interesting day for the show. Here's one. People need to be a little more thick-skinned. I'm a woman and appreciated Trump's results. His words never bothered me. He's a New Yorker. They have their own culture. True. But my guess is, too, and I was talking with Mike Boyle off air about this, that there are a great number of women who are turned off by his personality. And that's not just me talking. That's the results of the last election. If you look, he made gains in voting in just about every other demographic. But educated white women, man, he took it right in the chops on that one right there. Here's one, Donald Trump. Blah, blah, blah. So character and morals are optional for the GOP. That's what someone... No, I don't believe that that's true. But I do believe that for some, the pragmatic outcome of a Trump presidency outweighs the adherence to some sort of idea of character principle. And for those people who are going to be like, he's got more character, please stop doing that. The dude was a pro-abortion Democrat for part of his life. There was no epiphany. There's no moment where all of a sudden he realized that pro-life mattered to him as an individual or to his soul. I don't believe that at all. I believe it was a conversion of convenience for purposes of politics. And frankly, I don't care. Because the product of that was, dude put people on the Supreme Court more than anybody else. Three that at least said, we're going to look at the Constitution, not some other political stuff to try to get it done. We're going to be originalists. I support that. I don't need him to be sincerely pro-life, which maybe he is now or not. I need him to be someone that's committed to the Constitution. Here's one, folks that want to send me an email and some stuff. I love Donald Trump, and I'm glad that he is not president at this time. I prefer he run for Congress and be speaker to make laws that will have an impact in the future rather than executive orders that are temporary. I get it. I've heard people say that, too. Like, couldn't he be? I've heard people say, he could be made the Speaker of the House without even being a member of Congress. I don't know if that's true or not. I just think that's impossible to envision. But the idea of him running, would he run down there in the Mar-a-Lago area? I don't even know which congressional district that is. I guess he could. But then the question is, would he be elected Speaker? Maybe. And could he have a bigger impact as Speaker? I don't think so. I don't think he could have a bigger impact, because even though he can only do executive orders when we don't have both branches, he has the ability to do a whole bunch of things with those administrative agencies. We've seen that with Joe Biden, right? We've seen some of the craziness that's put out there when they can't get things passed legislatively. Hell, we see that with our own governor. When you can't get stuff passed legislatively, you just do it by executive order. And I think that he has more power as the president. Here's one. The Never Trumper crowd has brought the United States to the place where a partisan raid by a current administration on a former administration is okay. Pretty sure he's talking about the FBI thing at Mar-a-Lago. Listen, call it a raid if you must, but it's just hard to imagine a less raidy raid than a bunch of guys in plain clothes who tried to de-emphasize their presence, who gave at least an hour's advance notice to the legal team, who showed up with a judge-approved, even if you question the judge's background and bias, approved warrant to go in and seize documents. If that's a raid, they suck at raids. And give me the description of an execution of a search warrant under these conditions that isn't a raid. How would it look different? Because my guess is your conclusion out there would be any execution of a search warrant would be a raid on his house. And to call it a partisan raid, maybe Merrick Garland and the president, who claims to have known nothing about this, maybe Merrick Garland, but those FBI agents are partisan. My guess is the vast majority of those men and women there are probably Republicans. That's my best guess. Here's one. That was about this. There was a very nice text from somebody. I know you've asked for both positive and negative feedback for the show. I'm listening. 65% of the time, your interviews or discussion are always well representative of both sides of viewpoints and thoughts, regardless of if you agree or disagree. I try to do that. I concede, man. I've got some bias here. Someone just texted in with breaking news. A judge will rule on unsealing of the affidavit on Thursday. I'm sure it will remain sealed. I do, too. And that's interesting. DOJ now, and that's totally interesting that DOJ wants to keep it sealed. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. My guess is if they have a whistleblower, simply redacting the name won't protect them, and they probably want to keep that whistleblower. My guess is if they're looking to target other people, not the president, but in his orbit, that are touched by these documents, they don't want to reveal that either. They don't want people in the business of trying to circle the wagons, maybe destroy some other evidence or something like that. Don't want people to know they're looking at them. I could see that too. Someday, and when I say someday, I don't mean 50 years down the road, we should have that affidavit unsealed. The public should get to see that, because this is such an unprecedented use of the executive power of the federal government to go after, even if it's lawful, to go after a former president who might actually end up becoming a future candidate. That's a big deal. And this thing needs to be treated differently. It needs to be transparent. Here's one. Here's our buddy about the rhino thing. As far as who gets to decide who a rhino is, I do. And every single voter of the Republican coalition. And in my mind, they've done more damage to this country than the commie Democrats. At least I know where they stand. Rhinos stand for only things that get them reelected and split hairs, kind of like lawyers. There's no better way to end the show on that kind of a love fest right there. And finally, the question, do we get Amanda on Friday? I don't know. Man, it's hard. She is becoming harder and harder to get a hold of. And she's still at home, for God's sake, till the end of the month. I'll keep working on it. Hey, thanks to Billy Behind the Glass. Thanks to Sheriff Bill Elder from El Paso County and sharing that story and the stuff about Andrew Peary, the killed deputy. We'll be back tomorrow. This afternoon, Stephen Tubbs. Until then, you've been listening to George Brockler, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.